Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Jack Manuel. And today we are talking game one of the Western Conference Finals. How are you doing, guys?
Pleasure to be here, lads.
It's late here, but it's middle of the afternoon where Jack is. So it's night and day, right?
Night and day. That's actually a good comparison right there. And Golden State won game one, 119-106. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can check out all of our recaps for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play. But guys, what were your initial thoughts after the Warriors walking away with game one?
Man, you just got to feel bad if you're a Rockets supporter, because the Warriors weren't even really at their best. They were very good. But it seems like they've still got another level to them. And the Rockets, you know, James Harden was absolutely awesome game one. He's been awesome in all game ones in this playoffs. But you know, they just weren't good enough, and they just didn't have enough support from guys like Chris Paul. Wasn't really like his superstar best. Clint Capella probably was that little bit off. There was just too many guys who were sort of passengers alongside James Harden's awesome sort of performance.
Yeah, I agree. You know, James Harden was tremendous. You know, Trevor Ariza being in foul trouble throughout the game was a tremendous, disappointing note for the Rockets. They could have used him out there defensively. A couple of the fouls were a little ticky-tacky. Like you mentioned, Chris Paul, he had, 23 points and 11 rebounds. He actually was their best rebounder tonight, which is also not a very good sign. But he just felt kind of underwhelming. It's tough. The Warriors are obviously a different animal, and, you know, you can't beat the Warriors. If you don't have the star power to match the Warriors, you have to be a completely sound team. And it felt like every time the Rockets made a mistake, they had to pay for the mistake. You know, every turnover felt like it led to a three from the Warriors. You know, every missed layup seemed to be a transition bucket. You know, it just felt like everything that went wrong for the Rockets ended up being a plus for the Warriors.
Yeah, you definitely got the vibe. And for the Rockets fans, I mean, it definitely sucks. Harden had an amazing game, like you guys mentioned. 41 points, 14-24 from the field, 5-9 from three, 7 assists. And he really had some big buckets over some, you know, I think he hit a three over like KD. He worked him in the paint a few times. He really worked the switches too, got the switches on Curry, Looney. But like you guys mentioned, the Warriors just felt consistently better throughout the game. Even at the points where Houston led, it was like the Rockets weren't necessarily playing up to the level that they can, especially the role guys.
They were literally all of their guys who played minutes were pluses and plus minus or even. Andre Iguodala was the worst at plus zero, and Draymond Green was plus 19. So, I mean, it speaks volumes to the fact that even in a relatively back and forth game where, you know, one team went on a run, the other team sort of went on another one, the Golden State Warriors just went on those more extended runs. And as I had in my articles of the week this week, Baxter Holmes had a really nice analytical piece on the fact that the Golden State Warriors, when they go on those runs, they look to deflate teams. And they were really doing that. And, you know, there were only so many timeouts that Mike D'Antoni could take. And, you know, they just seemed like any time that the Warriors went on the run, no team could stop them, let alone the second best team in the NBA right now in the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, it felt like the Rockets were just trying to survive those runs sometimes, and then they didn't have the energy to really push back. And you guys mentioned the role players not playing great. Other than James Harden, the Rockets were 25 of 61 from the field and 8 of 28 from 3. So the supporting cast just wasn't there tonight.
Yeah, Lukumba Mute, this is from Kevin O'Connor, is now shooting 7 of 27 since returning from his shoulder injury and 2 of 12 from 3. So I think he was mentioned quite heavily, I know, in the preview piece by you guys, the preview pod. You know, he could be an important piece going into the series. You know, in the X factors and a lot of the articles on OTG, he was mentioned as an important part. And he just doesn't look healthy, whether he hasn't fully recovered or, you know, he just doesn't have that required energy and engagement. He's possibly one of the most important pieces for the Rockets in terms of getting the win against the Golden State Warriors, especially in that sort of small ball, you know, opponent version of the death lineup. But, you know, he just wasn't at his best. And, you know, it's worrying signs for the Rockets because, you know, they're going to have to be outstandingly amazing to even get close to these Warriors.
Yeah, and, I mean, we definitely thought Abalamute was probably going to be one of the better defenders against Durant. Obviously, what we'll probably all mention, when Durant is on like he is tonight, there's nothing you can do. And, you know, there was a couple of times, what stood out to me that first quarter, there was that one player, PJ Tucker, was literally, you know, in his chest bumping him, and Durant just drained it in his mouth, which he pretty much did all night on Harden, on Capella. It didn't matter who was on Durant. Durant was tremendous. But, you know, Abalamute obviously struggled. We saw Ryan Anderson for a whole 5 minutes. You know, that went really
that was
well.
A surprise.
Not. Yeah, that Gerald Green and Ryan Anderson lineup they had out there for 5 minutes. I know I saw a tweet. I think they were outscored by like eight in that, those 5 minutes. But yeah, it was a bad showing for the role players on Houston.
Yeah, getting back to Abamute, like we mentioned, Jack, you know, in a lot of preview pieces, he's a guy that you look to defend KD because he's a mix of defense, but he missed a lot of the layups too. You know, I want to say he missed two or three layups at the rim. You know, that's shots he needs to make, especially if they want to keep him out there. And it kind of forced Mike D'Antoni to play Gerald Green a little bit more than he probably wanted to, and even Eric Gordon. If Abamute is actually scoring offensively, you're going to keep him out there. But I think he's not 100%. He doesn't look very confident on the floor.
No, he was making plays off the dribble. It's just, yeah, like you said, his finishing just didn't seem there, whether it was he was just off a step or he just wasn't reading as well. I back him in terms of his ability. It's just whether his health is having an impact on him.
Yeah, it's always tough when you miss time and have to come back in the playoffs. So I think that's interesting. On the Warriors side, you could kind of see it a little bit from Steph Curry. You know, we talked about it in the last series, you know, in his comeback game, he looked great, but he really wasn't in full rhythm. Tonight, I feel like the Rockets have frustrated him a little bit defensively. When Curry was on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, with
they attacked the crap out of him.
Yeah.
It felt like on every switch they got Curry, it was like, okay, time to go to work.
Yeah, especially Harden.
It seems to be the game plan for every team when they come up against the Warriors. But Steph looked decent defensively. You know, he had a couple of steals, a couple of deflections. You know, there will be times, obviously, going against like a James Harden that he's going to get cooked. But the thing is his mentality. And I think, obviously, when he's got a guy like Draymond behind him, backing him up, and even KD, who both were awesome defensively, you know, it allows him to sort of play like a superstar role player, which is saying something from one of the best players in today's game. But he was good. He wasn't, you know, a superstar level, amazing MVP level, but, you know, that was KD's night tonight.
Yeah, when you have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, who had you know, probably a quiet 28 points, it felt like he got a lot of wide open threes, and that's something the Rockets just can't do. Defensively, you know, they put up a solid game, but I wouldn't say this is the best game the Rockets could play. They let Klay get a lot of wide open threes. They missed a lot of rotations, some of the off-ball plays that got caught ball watching, and like you guys mentioned, some of the turnovers, and then also the missed layups. I think there's plenty to clean up on the Rockets side to feel better about the series. Not that, you know, they played bad, but they didn't play to their highest capability tonight.
No, I definitely agree that the Rockets were not at their best. As you mentioned, they missed more wide-open shots than they did contested shots, it felt like, especially in that first half. You know, that first half could have been a lot of different game if they were hitting those open threes early. You know, going into halftime, you know, it easily could have been a much different game if they had a lead. Obviously, the third quarter, the Warriors started – obviously packing it on a little bit more, and they started pulling away. And obviously in the fourth, it just felt like the 10-point deficit just couldn't be overcame.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, Jack, you hinted at this before, having Draymond behind him on Steph's side, you know, Draymond didn't have a big stat night, but low-key defensively, he had a lot of great rotations. He also did a great job boxing out Clint Capella.
Yeah, he was awesome. You know, early on, it was fun seeing the Draymond evolved, the sort of, you know, bad devil on the shoulder Draymond, you know, getting a tech within 1 minute and 7 seconds. That's going to be some sort of record. I'm sure ESPN Stats and Info will come up with something for that.
If they don't have one, they'll make it up.
I'm sure they will. and then he was teetering on the edge of getting a second tech because he was really chippy. That PJ Tucker foul upon replay, you can see PJ sort of pulled him down. So he was, you know, worthwhile frustrated. He certainly deserved to be there. But yeah, he just once, you know, I think they took a timeout. Steve Kerr had a word to him. Zaza and Quinn Cook had a word to him. And he's just like, lets him sort of vent his frustrations a little bit. And then he was just engaged and he was on. And
now, Corey, do you think that's a spot? Sorry to cut you off, Jack. That you're on, man. The Rockets should have attacked, you know, Draymond a little bit and almost trying to force him to get that second tee?
I mean,
not attack him like literally with a ball, but kind of just annoy the shit out of him like he does to players like Rondo.
I mean, they could have even attacked him just in foul trouble in general. You know, he was in foul trouble early as well. And I think the best way to get, you know, Draymond into another tech is just to give more fouls on him, obviously. You actually posted one of the videos. PJ Tucker caught the ball on the three-point line. He drove into the basket, and he gave a nice little pass to Clint Capella for a dunk. And if P.J. Tucker, I think if he had went up for that layup, Draymond Green was the guy defending him, and it would have been a foul on Draymond because Draymond made a ton of contact with him, but he dished it off to Clint Capella. And that would have been, I believe, his third foul in, like, early in the second quarter or midway through the second quarter. And that could have been a completely different ball game too if you had taken Draymond out, you know, at that point in time.
And then you're really working his emotions, too, if he's getting a third foul, too. And then he's playing with Steve Kerr, you know, leave me on the floor. And obviously Draymond's impact in this game, like you guys mentioned, plus 19. Now, Jack, what do you think about Clint Capella this game? You know, obviously he showed some flashes on the pick and roll, catching a couple oops and, you know, a couple nice blocks. He also got switched on to Curry and did a great job a few times. Do you think they need to get him more involved, or it's just Draymond taking him out of the game?
No, I think they do need to get him more involved, Nick. I think the pick and roll action from Harden and Paul with Capella wasn't utilized enough, whether that was intentional or whether that was a product of the Warriors' defense. The times when they look good is when, you know, the threat of Capella, you know, Harden draws the second defender and Capella's just there for an easy dunk, a la, you know, DeAndre style. I felt like, you know, 30 minutes, you know, 12 points, he was negative three, you know, six rebounds, three assists, a couple of blocks and a steal. He looked good defensively early. The energy when the Houston Rockets were on, when James Harden was nailing shots, looked really good. But it seemed like they got deflated when the Warriors went on runs. I'm not sure whether, you know, it was intentional in the sense that they went away from that sort of pick and roll action. It seemed like, obviously we know that they're the best isolation team, the number one isolation team in the NBA. But, you know, it can't hurt to have a couple extra DHOs and pick and roll sort of movements and just creating some different sort of style, different looks, because, you know, the Warriors sort of, you know, got into their own sort of groove defensively. It's like they played into the Warriors' hands in a sense.
I can definitely see that. And not to mention too, you know, I gotta correct myself. PJ Tucker did he drove on Draymond in the first quarter for the dunk that led to the path led to a Capella dunk. But it felt like at times, especially with Clint Capella, that I think it was in the fourth quarter, Harden threw an oop and it hit like off the rim. At times they were just kind of forcing him the ball where he wasn't even in a great position to catch an oop or to catch a ball. But like, at times they were like just not using him properly almost.
Yeah, and I want to give the Warriors credit too, because I felt like they did a great job of boxing him out when he was trying to get these oops and just getting under him and getting in a position where he couldn't really get up straight. But I agree. I think, Jack, you know, getting in some of that pick and roll early will help a little bit. It felt like at times the Rockets were trying to work so much to get the mismatches that they ate up a lot of the shot clock. And I think we saw in the first half there was probably at least three shot clock violations.
Yeah, the 7 seconds or less to Antonio are certainly a distant memory, that's for sure. I think Howard Beck had a piece that came out last night or this morning on the sort of revamp Mike D'Antoni and the new sort of Houston Rockets. And it just doesn't work. You know, if you're playing out the clock and trying to find that switch, yes, but you've got to get into those actions a lot earlier and it just benefits everyone. Obviously, the Warriors play a lot more utilitarian style of basketball in terms of everyone getting a touch. But, you know, I saw this stat online. It was from Chris Wilder. The Golden State Warriors are 25-3 in playoff games since Kevin Durant arrived, which is just ridiculous. They're just so freaking good. And I think if we're not like appreciating their greatness right now, and you know, there's a lot of obviously haters out there, but you know, we need to appreciate how good these guys are, how good LeBron is. You know, it's an awesome time to be watching the NBA.
Yeah, as much as people hate Kevin Durant too, he was dominant. Yeah. Like he's been dominant in the playoffs, and this was just a reminder that nobody can really defend him. In your mind, Corey, what would be your best defense against KD? Not for the Rockets, just in general in the entire NBA. Who would you throw at him?
I mean, Kawhi.
Yeah,
if I had to pick any defender, I'm gonna go Kawhi, hands down. I think
give me a top three.
It'd probably be Kawhi first. Second, I'd probably give Paul George the ring, and then third.
Can you say Draymond?
I mean, either say Draymond or Anthony Davis. Only because Anthony Davis had the length, but even still, you know, he had that one shot over Anthony Davis where Davis couldn't have been, you know, any closer. You know, I know we've made a ton of Avenger references in the last 2 weeks, but like Durant literally was Thanos with all the Infinity Stones. I mean, it was unreal. You know, no assists, three rebounds. It's literally like the game plan. Durant, listen, we don't want you to do anything. Just score. You know, use your length on defense, and everything will handle itself. It's almost how it felt to me all night.
Do you feel like the Rockets at times, like obviously he was scoring on everybody, but at times they allowed him to get switches on CP3 and Harden and didn't send double teams right away? Is that something that needs to change? You know, I know we'll talk adjustments later, but would you have sent double teams tonight?
I mean, I would have tried to. They didn't send enough double teams, first off. Well, I mean, it's hard because, like, do double teams work against the Warriors?
With certain lineups, I think they do.
You think they do?
With certain lineups. Like, there was an instance where I think I tweeted this out. They had Livingston, Looney, and Draymond out there, and Clay and KD. Now, you can pretty much come off the other three. Obviously, they can make plays, but KD and Clay are the only ones you have to worry about from the three-point line.
Yeah, that's my only concern with the double team is, you know, it depends on who's out there. Because if you're double teaming Durant when they have the starters out there, for instance, or the Hampton Five, which is the weirdest new nickname for a group of players.
It sounds like a reality wife TV show or something like that.
Yeah, it's the new show on VH1. but, you know, in that instance, Nick, where you're right, if Livingston's out there and Looney, you know, those guys you can double team because those guys aren't shooters. But otherwise, you know, it's tough because you can't give someone a double team on this Warriors starting five. It's too much to handle. We already saw Klay Thompson get wide open enough tonight. You know, if he got wide open any more in those 42 minutes, then he could have gone for 38 easily because he felt like every time he caught the ball, he was firing one up and it felt like it was going in.
And that's the worst thing you can do for Klay Thompson. You can't allow him to get hot, especially in a game one. Now his confidence is high for the rest of the series, and now you have to worry about really D'ing him up. Before we get into the player breakdown specifically, what were your thoughts on the turnover battle? I thought it was very impressive for the Warriors only having 9 and the Rockets only having 13.
Yeah, it was interesting. Normally the Warriors are a really high sort of turnover team in terms of the way they were playing basketball. The Rockets obviously aren't as notorious for such play, but you know, I like the way that they took care of the ball. It seemed like it was sort of concerted effort. I'm not sure whether that was an emphasis point for Steve Kerr going into the game, but they certainly did take care of it really well. They got good shots. It was really just an overall efficient night on the offensive end and the defensive end for the Warriors. It was not perfect, but it seemed like everything came together on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, it was one of those games where there were so few turnovers or not enough, like so little turnovers where every time there was a turnover, you noticed it. You know, yeah. It felt like every turnover when it did happen, you were like, oh, that's going to hurt. Or like every turnover was magnified, or whatever. I'm trying to say a word.
It's almost midnight on the East Coast. We'll cut you some slack.
Yeah, you can just feel the impact, though, when turnovers were made.
Yeah, no, it definitely did, and I thought that was very impressive. I think at one point in the first half, they only had one turnover, and they just did a great job protecting the ball. And when they did have the turnover stretches, it allowed Houston to get on their run. So I think protecting the ball is going to be huge for the Warriors, and I think we would all agree, if Golden State isn't turning over the ball, you know, Houston doesn't really have a great shot in the series.
No, not at all.
But best Warrior, you know, tell me what you like the most from somebody other than KD and Klay.
I'd say Draymond. Draymond's just defense. Like some of his blocks, some of his just how he affects plays. It seems like he's ever since like people like were sort of shading him for the defensive player of the year conversation. He's made it his mission to go, you know what? I'm probably still the best defender in the game and one of the best defensive players of all time. Rudy Gobert has been great, but he does not have the versatility of a Draymond Green, and I don't think anyone in today's NBA does. And I don't think there are many guys in the history of the NBA that have the defensive versatility and skill set that Draymond has. And it was just one of those typical nights from him where he doesn't need to score at all because there are three of the best scorers in the league today on his team. So he can just do what he does and, you know, nail a couple of layups. And if an open three is there, he was just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, Draymond's impact defensively was extremely felt. Like you mentioned, you know, offensively, just 5 points, struggled shooting, but it didn't matter. Nine assists, nine rebounds, two steals, two blocks. For me, you know, obviously Curry wasn't the offensive juggernaut we've seen, and defensively he did get cooked at times. But I really liked how he did everything else, though. You know, he rebounded decently. There was one time where I don't know who he got a rebound underneath, but he was underneath the basket, and he had to fight for a rebound.
He boxed somebody out pretty well. Nice, fundamentally sound, you know, box out, get that offensive rebound.
Yeah, it was extremely, Curry got it, and I was like, that's Curry. Like, oh shit. The 8 assists, he moved the ball well, like Jack mentioned earlier. He had a couple nice steals. One was on Harden. you know, I think he played well. And I want to give a shout out to Looney. I think Looney played really well for 24 minutes. You know, when the Rockets went really small, they put out Looney. And Looney's just as athletic. You know, he could run up and down the floor. And, you know, he had a positive impact. And almost, like, I was surprised on how long he was out there for during stretches of this game.
I think the overall bench, you know, had a really solid game. 8 of 12 from the field for the bench. You know, they put in a lot of good minutes at times where you felt like they were going to go to the bench and this was a chance for the Rockets to make a run. And instead, the Warriors ended up adding to their lead. You know, guys like Sean Livingston's been doing it for a while. Nick Young made an appearance, and I didn't expect that. He hit 3 threes. Also, David West made his presence felt. So I think that bench unit was big, especially with Houston's bench being so bad.
Yeah, I think the battle of the benches isn't going to be like the biggest thing going forward. But, you know, Steve Kerr's tightening his rotation. You know, he always gets a lot of flack for who he starts, who he plays. Kevon Looney, yeah, as you mentioned, has earned his spot. Obviously, with Jordan Bell, there was an article out today, I think it was NBC Sports, about his sort of role going forward. It's so awesome that it's so ridiculous that they have this ace up their sleeve in one of the best sort of like defensive rookies going around in Jordan Bell. Like if, you know, Kevon Looney isn't great, you know, we'll chuck out a Jordan Bell because I doubt we're going to be seeing a lot of JaVale and Zaza in this series, if at all.
Yeah. It's a luxury they have. They don't really waste much roster space. Everybody has some value, similar to the Celtics team on, you know, the Eastern side. But what Warrior do you think needs to step up for game two? Is there anybody or everybody played good enough for you?
I mean, I don't think anyone needs to really step up. But, you know, if Curry gets more aggressive offensively, you know, it was a quiet scoring night. Even though he had 18 points, he shot over 50%. You know, he really didn't look for a shot. You know, he was really just set on letting Durant do his thing and playing more, you know, passively. I just think it's if he turns it up a little bit, obviously tonight they really didn't need him to, but if he turns it up a little bit while Clay's hitting those shots and Durant's as aggressive as he was, then, I mean, this is going to be a really quick series.
Yeah, I'm going with Andre Iguodala. I tweeted out his contract, the fact that he's making $48 million over the next 3 years. He's 34 years old right now. Yes, his role in the Warriors right now is literally the fifth guy, if not the sixth guy, depending on who comes off the bench. But yeah, to be making that money going forward in terms of their roster flexibility and their salary cap flexibility, it's more of a long-term thing, I think. And I think Jason Concepcion, one of my favorite guys on Twitter and on The Ringer, tweeted out that he thinks he's washed. I'm not sure if he's there just yet, but if he continues to play like this, he gave away like easy dinky fouls. He gave away like perimeter 3-point fouls.
So I wanted to say Chris Paul really stuck out when he went underneath him on three. It was kind of just stupid, and that's not something you see from Iguodala.
No, I think he's certainly lost a step, and obviously age has something to do with that. But you know, I think that contract is going to come back to bite them, especially when they're looking to re-sign Clay, Draymond, and KD in the coming years.
That's a very good point, Jack. And obviously, you know, I love looking at salary caps and contracts. That could come down the road, especially when they're talking about this Clay extension. Him taking a pay cut would be huge, but we'll save that for another show.
It's funny that, you know, we're saying that Iggy's washed, but, you know, he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. And I can't remember the last time he shot that well from the free throw line, guys.
That's true.
Yeah, he did. He got he got some of those buckets in transition. That's another thing for Houston that they need to clean up is getting back in transition D, and that's something we talked about in the preview pod as well. But going to the Rocket side, other than James Harden, who was the best Rocket tonight?
You're probably going to say Chris Paul, Corey, you reckon?
Yeah, it's got to be Chris Paul, but there's a big gap. You know what I'm saying? Even though he was the second best player, there's a big gap. It just didn't feel like he was there that times.
Yeah, and like Clint Capella was 6 of 7 from the field. So like he had his shots, but he had played less minutes than PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker was 0 of 3 from the field. So, and Trevor Reeves obviously in that foul trouble had 5 fouls going into the fourth, early in the third. So there's just a lot of things from the sort of role players on Houston that they need to, you know, we saw Nene as well playing some minutes, which was, I don't know what was more surprising, Nene or Ryan Anderson out there.
Dude, Nene's surprise is that he played 5 minutes. He was a +1, and I swear to God, he got switched on either Steph Curry or Kevin Durant every defensive possession he was on the floor, and he's a +1. I don't understand.
That's amazing that he's a +1, because I thought he got scored on every time he got switched to almost.
But The thing was, the Warriors kind of cut him some slack because I believe Kevin Durant stepped back twice when he had an A on him, and Curry only scored one time. So it was like they kind of wasted the opportunity. And that was when the Rockets had a chance to really make a run, because I believe that was the end of the third, early fourth quarter. But I'm going to go with Clint Capela because he showed flashes where I think the Rockets can capitalize him in a little bit. And those two defensive stretches he had on Steph Curry were very impressive. I don't know many seven-footers in the league that could defend him and force a steal and then block a shot.
Yeah, he was awesome.
So... But worst Rocket. You can give me more than one because there's definitely more than one.
I mean, yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'm probably going to go with Trevor Ariza, but I'm not sure if it's really his fault of his own. PJ Tucker as well. I'm not going to say Eric Gordon was the worst Rocket, but he was negative 10. Luka Bamute was the only one who was worse, minus 14. And he still did score 15 points, 6 of 13 from the field, hit three threes. I tweeted out that he's been under, I think, 32% from the field from three in these playoffs. He had moments and spurts, but you know, he's a liability defensively. And you know, when you've got him and Harden, if they're playing at the same time, you can't have two defensive liabilities against these Warriors, no matter what lineup they're really playing, because they're just that stacked. And I think Eric Gordon, you know, obviously not starting anymore, they need to get something. They need to have like someone, you know, get a 20-point. Whether it's Capela getting like a 20 and 10 game, or whether it's, you know, 25 and five threes from Eric Gordon, or you know, Trevor Ariza is nailing threes and, you know, locking down KD, they need like a third guy to be just really, really great.
Yeah, they definitely need a third guy. I think that goes without saying. They're in desperate need of a third person to step up and give anything more than usual. For me, I think Trevor Ariza, like you said, Jack, you know, the foul trouble, whether you want to say it's his fault or not, you know, that obviously dramatically hurt their chances. Gerald Green in 16 minutes too, you know, he had four fouls, a couple of them led to free throws. You know, he obviously hit a couple threes, but I mean, I could have gone without a Gerald Green showing in this playoff game.
He hit some really bad shots sometimes too.
Yeah, like almost like those hero shots. The I want to hit this shot and make an impact in the game. So for me, he was bad. I mean, the Ryan Anderson for 5 minutes was more than I needed. And I think you're right too on the Eric Gordon front too, Jack. You know, he in the first half in particular, he hit that first three, and then he was just forcing about every other shot that half.
Yeah, Gordon was pretty much trash for a lot of the game, and then he had a stretch where he got a little bit hot. I feel like he's another guy. He reminds me of J.R. Smith with his shot selection sometimes. You know, if you're cold, why are you going to take fading jump shots instead of attacking the rim when you have that capability? And Abba Mute, we touched on him earlier, obviously a little bit of that is health, but still that's a major concern, 0 of 6. And then P.J. Tucker, you know, he's a guy who was able to hit threes, hit shots. I believe he had 2 3-pointers blocked by Draymond in this game. So P.J. Tucker, not very impressive, and KD just owned him. Like he acted like he wasn't even there, and he's supposed to be a defensive stopper.
Yeah, I think we need to stop with P.J. Tucker. We give him too much. We overhype him. You know, we called him LeBron stopper last year. He's been tagged with being trying to stop KD this year. We just need to let him do his thing, because I think the pressure of being a stopper is getting to him.
Who do you think is the best matchup on KD? You know, Tucker, Ariza, or Abba Mute?
I honestly think Abba Mute is. A combination of Abba Mute and Ariza. I mean, a PJ Tucker is probably, you know, right now maybe the healthiest of those three. I'm not sure about Ariza. But, you know, in terms of Abba Mute and his, you know, overall capabilities, you know, he's known for being that guy. And I think, you know, if he can sort of make him work for it, And whether it's just one game, like they get everything out of him in this second game, you know, we need everything out of you. And then like in the third game, they're sort of, you know, obviously going back to Oracle and Oakland, it's going to be, you know, a tough stretch to sort of get the win. But, you know, it's obviously crucial that they get the next win. So I advocate for a bit more Luka Mute, but then again, I'm not in the Houston locker room. I don't know what his health is like.
I mean, I would love to see more Ariza on Durant. I'm sure we will. Hopefully foul trouble doesn't play a factor in game two, but I think Ariza, because of defensive IQ and his length, I think he's probably one of the tougher matchups for Durant in this series, at least. I think a combination of all three would be good. The length of Abba Mute, the defensive IQ of Trevor Ariza, and the physicality of PJ Tucker. I think it's got to be a collective effort. We mentioned this on the preview. You know, it's similar to what the Celtics are going to do with LeBron. You have to throw a bunch of different things at him. You can't just rely on one guy to hold Durant or one guy to even hold, you know, Curry or Clay. You got to give these guys a ton of different views. You got a ton of different guys need to do different things just so they can get comfortable.
Yeah. I think I like Abamute, but I think the thing with Abamute, if he isn't really giving you anything offensively, it makes him so tough to play. So it almost leads you to wanting playing Trevor Ariza the most. And he wasn't even great offensively either, but he's shown he can at least hit the three, 1 of 5 tonight. He'll probably step up a little bit. But I think, you know, at some point you have to consider sending some extra help and forcing rotations and maybe forcing somebody else to beat you. Talking about that, what adjustments would you make from the Rocket side for game two?
I think offensively, as I mentioned earlier, they need to get into the actions a little bit earlier. I don't mind the ISO ball. I don't mind, you know, get that switch early. You know, nail a screen and get that switch onto, you know, Kevon Looney or Iggy, whoever it is. Get that switch early and then get into your actions a bit earlier. The ISO ball, obviously, you know, statistics prove that it's worked, but it's not going to work for 7 games against these Warriors. And I think a little bit more movement, a little bit more cutting action, a little bit more off-ball movement in terms of DHOs and just and general pick-and-roll sort of movement will certainly help them offensively. Defensively, we've mentioned the fact that, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more Lukumba Mute. I think he's a little bit better offensively than PJ Tucker and can create a shot a little bit more. And, you know, neither of them are really, you know, reliable three-point shooters. So I think it's sort of a give and take with either of them. But, yeah, obviously, you know, I think Steph's probably going to be primed for a big game too. So there's just so many factors for this Golden State Warriors team that we take for granted. It's like, oh, well, yeah, Steph was, you know, average for this game, but he was still, you know, very good defensively. And Clay was just left wide open. So, you know, if you're not leaving Clay wide open, then maybe Steph's wide open. And it's just like, who knows what could happen in the next game. But I think there's a lot of adjustments that need to be made if Houston want to make this a series.
Yeah, I almost agree with almost everything you said, Jack. I think Capella got to be more involved in game two. I would love to see more pick and rolls, some more off-ball screens to try and free up some shooters. It almost felt like at some point in this game that, you know, the Warriors were just playing basketball, and it felt like the amount of effort needed by the Rockets was far more than the effort needed by the Warriors. Yeah, it felt like the Rockets just needed to put in so much more than the Warriors. I think, you know, the only way the Rockets can make adjustments is they make life easier on themselves, you know. Get guys, you know, move the ball around more, do more pick and rolls, do more off-ball screens. You just get guys moving more, get guys, like you said, cutting more. They got to just get the ball moving more. I understand, you know, the isolation, it's worked. Obviously, you know, the Rockets have been really good this year, and they've relied decently heavy still on isolation basketball. You know, they still move around everything else, but they still rely heavily on James Harden dancing and doing what he does. But the only way to beat this Warriors team, like you mentioned, is to get everybody involved.
Yeah, definitely some more off-ball action. I think even James Harden maybe getting some back cuts. I think we saw Clint Capella hit him because they're playing him so hard. And just getting touches for everybody. And like Jack said, getting to the action faster. Defensively, I think you just need to force Draymond to beat you. You know, early in the game, Draymond took some shots over, you know, Tucker, Clint Capella. It allowed the Rockets to go on that 8-0 run. They had that 21-13 lead. And then, you know, after that, they allowed KD to just get cooking. So I think you got to, you know, make Draymond, Iguodala, those two guys really beat you.
Yeah, and I just saw a stat. Fast break points. The Warriors won the fast break 18-2.
Cool. Yeah, transition defense is big, and we mentioned that a lot in the preview. As well, I think for the Rockets, you know, clean up the mistakes, some of the miscues like we hinted at earlier. On the Warriors side, any adjustments you want to see?
Just keep doing the same what they're doing. Maybe try and find Steph early on, sort of get him some action early, see how he can get into his rhythm a little bit, because Clay can sort of find his own in a matter of moments, as can Steph. But I feel like if, you know, similar to what Harden was doing in the first quarter, if Steph can sort of heat up early, KD can do the same. He can be sort of like an ancillary piece where he's just like sort of, you know, the second superstar, despite the fact that he's the second best player in the game. I saw this. I'm on my timeline now, guys, and I know it's probably a discussion for another day, but Colin Cowherd, it's almost like like Houston is missing one crucial piece, hashtag LeBrockets. I don't want to indulge that with a response, but hashtag LeBrockets isn't too bad. I'm going to give that to him.
It's not his worst tweet.
Not his worst.
Definitely not his worst. I think one thing we can say tonight too about the Warriors, you know, what they can improve on. Obviously, it's not much. It's play the style of basketball you played tonight. And probably just going to be a different guy, you know, filling in that 37-point shoe of Kevin Durant. Something I liked about Kevin Durant tonight, we've mentioned this on the preview a few times. You know, Kevin Durant was shooting under 30% from three heading into this series. Tonight we saw him shoot 50% from three. He looked more confident shooting threes. And, you know, if he starts getting the three ball falling efficiently, that's also just going to be an added disadvantage for the Rockets.
Yeah, definitely going to be a problem. And I think from the Warriors side, you know, maybe you try to force the ball to Harden's, you know, hands a little bit more, force some of these other role players to take more shots. And then offensively, I think KD is going to see double teams at some point, maybe work that Steph and KD pick and roll a little bit, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on the defense.
Lethal. It's such a lethal, like, move. Like, they barely do it. It's like just they do it when they have to.
And they Late game situations when it's really close, I feel like they keep it in their back pocket.
And it's the two guys that can create their shot out of anything. Like, literally, they are the two best shot creators. If you want to have James Harden in there, but I would probably have him behind those two because KD's length, obviously, is outstanding. And Steph's ability to create space with his dribble is, you know, second to none. So, I don't know. They have so many things up their sleeves. And, like, it'd just be insane to see the Warriors, like, challenge to their utmost. Similar to, like, when obviously the Cavs were in that final series, because, you know, obviously the guys were weren't at their best, but, you know, with KD now, it just seems like they're a cut and above beyond everyone else. And my Warriors in five prediction looks like it could be coming true.
Oh, you predicted Warriors in 5-2? Thank you.
I did on the JBT pod with Nick. And we both almost were very tempted to go to sweep. And, you know, if it's a sweep, then, you know, there's certainly a possibility of LeBron going there, because I think it was Slam Magazine posted an article at the fact that there were rumors that, you know, LeBron late in his career wants to be sort of an off-ball guy. And, you know, LeBron is an off-ball guy next to James Harden and Chris Paul. You know, it's going to be a fascinating offseason, but this series is going to be fascinating as well.
All right, guys, before we get out of here, any quick game two predictions? Who's going to win? Who's going to have a big game?
I'll go Rockets. Rockets by five. I think we're going to see Trevor Ariza with at least 15. One of Trevor Ariza and Bamute or Tucker with at least 15. And I reckon James Harden, rather than like a 41-point game, I reckon he might get a triple-double.
Yeah, I think this is the – I mean, you know, take something out of the Raptors dialogue book. This is the Rockets game seven. They have to win game two. I think this may end in four if they were to lose home court advantage completely going into Oracle. They definitely need to win game two. I think Trevor Ariza may have 15. I wouldn't be surprised if he cashes in some threes. James Harden and Chris Paul, they both have to score over 25. One of them needs to score over 35. And I think both of them combined need to have at least 15 assists.
Yeah, I think that's about, you know, spot on. Game seven for the Rockets is game two. I think Chris Paul and James Harden need to combine for 60-plus points and maybe close to 20 assists. And, you know, you need a reason. You need some of these guys to hit some threes. You know, Evan pointed out on the preview, as well as his written preview on otgbasketball.com, you know, these Tucker, Ariza, and Abamute need to hit about 10 threes a game if they want to win this series. But, guys, that wraps it up. I appreciate you hopping on. As always, thank everybody for listening. You can check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play.
I'm going to sleep, but I'm not sleep.